Doc, cover me.
My pleasure, John Barrymore.
Without pause, the old man dropped the Webley and fanned the Lama, its smoky discharge making a dense cloud of gray fumes in the air. Immediately, J.B. stood and swung up his shotgun. The 12-gauge scattergun blasts echoed louder than thunder, and the bats awakened. A few took flight, a couple more, then dozens. Ryan had signaled he understood the plan. Everybody heard and froze. This was exactly the type of situation they'd created code whistles for, when you couldn't yell out a warning without letting the enemy know your plans. The bats wheeled about over the companions, confused and angry, unable to comprehend what was happening. Then they noticed the Sec-men who were continuing to fire their blasters, all the while shouting and cursing over the Hummer's engines. Attracted by the noise, the bats poured along the tunnel in a river of wings. The 50 cows fanned death down the tunnel. Dozens of riddled corpses fell to the tracks, but the night flyers swarmed over the warm Sec-men, getting tangled in their hair and clothing. The Hummers' warm hoods were coated with the creatures, the headlights blocked by their leathery wings. Darkness enveloped the machines.
Launch the birds!
We can't. They'll only hit the bats and detonate yards away. Maybe right in the pod.
Then cut the bastards!
Mitchum drew a machete and slashed the winged rodents apart. Knives were used to hack the animals, but the smell of blood only excited the critters more, and a feeding frenzy began. The tiny fangs first ripped open their own dead's flesh, then the humans were next.
Now's our chance.
Muddy and wet, the companions quietly hurried away from the broiling firefight between the Sec-men and bats. The high beams were only a flickering glow blocked by the multitude of angry bats. They couldn't see Mitchum any more than he could them. How long this would last was another matter entirely, so they moved fast.
Over here!
Following the sound of Christie's voice, Ryan found her and his son standing before a plain steel door set into the tiled wall. A burnished plate listed it as Access 9 Sewer Pumps. They gathered close as J.B. picked the lock in the dark and pulled the door open. Inside was a small antechamber, closed off by the standard black metal entrance to a redoubt. The alloy was smooth and unmarred, without handle, hinges, or keyholes, just smooth steel. Searching along the sides, Ryan found a small steel plate set into the wall and eased it aside to find an armored keypad. Quickly, the man tapped in the entry code. As the nuke-proof portal slid ponderously aside, everybody rushed forward, only to stop as a strong ozone smell filled the antechamber.
Fire blast!
The first wisps of crackling white fog flowed into view. A wafting tendril touched the barrel of Jack's M16. Dissolving the pre-dark steel, it left only a hollow nubbin sticking out from the frame.
Fuck!
Retreating into the tunnel, the companions could only watch as a swollen expanse of gray-white fog flowed out of the redoubt. There was no true surface, but its bulk was impenetrable, forever moving and alive, with countless tendrils of mist. Heaving as if taking deep breaths, an eerie glow emanated from its core, casting the tunnel into ghostly blue shadows. Half of the companions had never seen such a thing before, but they clearly remembered the horror stories Ryan, Christie, J.B., and Doc had told about the incredible monstrosity, the ultimate redoubt guardian. Sometimes the underground bases were patrolled by Sec hunter droids or comp-operated weapons systems for protection from invaders. But only an occasional redoubt had ever had this hellish bastard of science and insanity. They fell back before the fog, and it pulsed from the redoubt, expanding and swelling in size to fill the tunnel. A bat on the ceiling screamed at the presence of the thing and tried to fly past the glowing fog. A misty tendril caressed the animal in flight, and it was gone, only the bloody tip of a wing tumbling down to splash into a puddle between the railroad tracks.
Beware of the Cerberus.
The fog seemed to react to the sound of Doc's voice, almost as if it recognized the old man. At the sound of the distant machine gun, the fog abruptly paused, unable to decide between the two groups in the dark tunnel.
Keep nice and slow. No sudden movements or they'll strike.
Let me try something.
Do nothing, boy. Only weapon that can kill this is an implug gren.
Don't have any.
Maybe we can outrun it.
Trick it somehow, then double back and slip inside. No way it could reach us past the nuke-proof door.
There was a sense of intelligence about the gas, and Mildred wondered if it could actually understand their words, or if it was merely responding to the tone of their voices, as a dog would. Billowing endlessly, the fog started toward the companions, but another barrage of blaster fire from the Sekhmen made it reconsider.
Trick this? Not a chance.
Holding the last grin, Ryan pulled the pin and dropped it at his boots.
No way we can reach the redoubt now. We can't kill it or even harm the bastard thing. So on my mark, run down the tunnel and don't stop. If anybody makes it to the surface alive, head for the bank. We'll meet there.
We return to the city of the gorillas. Yet a fighting chance for life is better than none.
Get ready, people.
Pushing his way past the adults, Dean walked straight to the towering Cerberus and held out a small plastic rectangle. Instantly, the fog pulsed toward the boy and stopped, and a single tendril extended to brush over the mag strip on the B-12 ID card from the corpse on the crashed Hercules aircraft. Just then, bright light bounced along the tunnel walls, and a Hummer drove into view, Mitchum at the wheel with a revolver in his hand. His face was in ribbons, blood everywhere, the dead bodies of his crew hanging off the armored war wag, clusters of tiny bats still feeding off the corpse's nutrient-rich life fluids.
You fucking bastards are gonna pay for this!
Suddenly rushing forward, the mist split apart and flowed around the companions, leaving them undamaged in its midst. But they were surrounded and unable to move in any direction.
Smoke won't hide you!
Oddly, the bullets didn't seem to reach the Outlanders, even though they were only 50 feet away. Slamming on the brakes, the Sec Chief climbed into the back and grabbed the 50 cal, only to notice the ammo belt was gone, completely used up in the fight against the bats.
Shitfire! Oh, you think that'll stop me? Nothing's gonna stop me, you bastards! I got something for you! Oh, yes I do! I got something, all right!
Clambering into the rear of the Hummer, the Colonel lit the main fuse for the Firebirds and swung the pod at the companions.
Yeah! Get some of this! You're gonna like it! I know you will, you one-eyed prick!
Instantly, the fog surged forward. One by one, the Firebirds launched. They punched into the cloud to simply disappear.
What? Impossible. Fucking impossible!
The fog flowed relentlessly over the military wag. The headlights dimmed, and a strange lightning stench filled the air, making it hard for Mitchum to draw a breath.
It's gonna be happening! No! No!
Mitchum found himself panicking within the confines of the shapeless fog. Still launching, the Firebirds left the pod, and their exhaust winked out, the impotent rockets falling to the ground and breaking apart, spilling their precious cargo of black powder. As the cloud began to thin around them, Ryan raised the Steyr to try to chill the sick man, but it was too late. Already the clothes were dissolving off his body. Then his skin began to sag and melt away, showing the network of muscles and veins. Gurgling horribly, the dying man swung the pot about, still valiantly trying to chill his inhuman attacker, even as his organs slid from his torso and piled at his feet, white bones appearing within the raw red flesh. The cloud was gone from around the companions as Mitchum's bloody skeleton toppled over, knocking the pod to swivel about and point straight up. The last couple of Firebirds slammed into the roof of the tunnel. Broken tiles and concrete debris rained upon the companions. JV pulled Mildred out of the way of a falling concrete slab. A chunk of ceiling hit Dean's hand, knocking the security card into a puddle.
Damn it! Where the hell is it?
As if understanding, the Cerberus cloud billowed about in a circle and started hastily for the companions.
Get inside!
But the card!
The father grabbed his boy by the collar and hauled him erect.
No time! Leave it!
Tendrils of fog were already snaking along the ground as they piled into the alcove. The armored portal had automatically closed, and Christie hurriedly punched in the code to open it. As before, the massive truncated door ponderously slid aside, and the companions squeezed through the widening crack to get inside. The door was still opening when the main body of fog arrived before the outer doorway. Throwing the grin into the tunnel, Ryan then fired from the hip, the slug hitting the wall behind the door, the ricochet slamming it shut. The door suddenly shuddered from the explosion outside, fumes seeping around its edges. Then the fumes began to coalesce and pull.